Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
Good morning. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church. To those of you here in person and those joining us online, a warm welcome. We pray that you will experience the presence of the living Jesus here today. Before we begin worship, I have a few announcements. We've begun our collection for the Super Bowl of Giving that we do every year. Please look after service at the needs that are posted on the bulletin board across from Holman Hall for the kinds of products that we're looking for to give to Goochland Cares. And thank you in advance for your giving. Today we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's table, and it is Christ who offers the invitation. All those who've been baptized in the name of the triune God are welcome to eat of this meal. It is the practice of this congregation that we take the elements all at once after they're distributed. Are there any other announcements? Okay, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Oh, that today you would listen to God's voice.
You serve.
The same God who has gathered us here to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with this weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Therefore, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your walk and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Almighty God, in his great mercy, gave Jesus Christ to die for us, and for Christ's sake forgives us all our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we pray that you would draw close to us in the reading of your holy word, that in reading, in hearing, in understanding, and in doing, we may feed on that bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. So speak to us this day, O Lord, and let us hear you. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the book of the prophet Jonah, starting in chapter 1, verse 17, and going through the second chapter. We are now in the belly of the whale. Literally and maybe metaphorically. Jonah has dealt with some of his issues with God's command here. He's been confronted by sailors. He's been confronted by the waves. He's been confronted by a great fish, and now he's going to be confronted by God. Before we read, I want to reiterate again that we could spend a lot of time debating the question of the fish. We could really debate whether Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and if he was digested. We could spend a lot of time on that. But that's really a distraction from the meaning of the text. We can still believe in the great fish because we believe in the God who raised a man from the dead. But the question of the fish is not as important as the question of the text and what God is trying to tell us through it. So with that aside, let us listen to God's word. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows, they passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto the dry land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. Jonah has been swallowed up. The great fish which the Lord had provided for Jonah was a rescue from the waves. But it was also to become his watery prison. He was now all alone, with seemingly no hope or help as he sank deeper and deeper into the depths of the sea. How long would he survive in this fish? This was only to be a temporary respite from the waves if the Lord would not again provide some deliverance. In the belly of the fish, Jonah probably saw it as an agent of judgment, punishing him for his disobedience, for running away. And in a sense, it was. But at the same time that it was, in a sense, a punishment, it was also an agent of mercy. It was an agent of mercy because in this fish, Jonah would first come to know and experience the awesome grace of his God. In his running away from God's command, Jonah showed that there was an inner dispute between him and pagans and between him and God. There was something deep in his heart that wanted his own way, that didn't see his way, vibing with God's ways. He did not think, on the one hand, that pagans deserved God's mercy, so why go to Nineveh? And on the other hand, he didn't think God knew what God was doing in sending him, so he ran. And as we saw last week, once he was on the ship to Tarshish, he was confronted by those very things he was running away from. As those sailors stood before him terrified, and he saw their humanity, he began to change his heart posture towards them. He confronted his relationship with those different from him, but he had not yet dealt and addressed his relationship with God. And unlike his experience with the sailors, his dealing with God took a little bit longer. You may notice in the text how Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I think in our telling of the story, we often truncate it and we say, okay, he was swallowed by the fish and immediately he turned and he prayed to God. But no, it was only after 3 days, when he was in the deepest depths of the sea, what the Hebrews called the roots of the mountains, only then did he turn to God. He was wrestling with his thoughts and his emotions for that long. One scholar comments here saying, not until Jonah was all the way down, finally stripped of all his own buoyant self-sufficiency, was deliverance possible. It was only in the belly of the fish, separated from the whole world, separated from all that he would try to cling to. It was only him and God. It was only in that place, and only then, would he come to realize exactly what kind of God the Lord is, and to know and experience the kind of grace the Lord gives, even to those who may turn away. And so he prays. The language Jonah uses in this prayer is highly metaphoric. It's connected, of course, to his current situation. He's surrounded by the sea. But this external language is also looking inward, talking about the storm of his own heart. Reading these words, I can't help but think of Jacob wrestling with God, that dispute between God and man. Here, Jonah is doing his own kind of wrestling with God. He's really wrestling with the kind of God who would send him out to a pagan land to proclaim mercy, a God who would call him back through waves and storms, and a God who would send a great fish to swallow him up. I think we would have to wrestle with similar things if we were in his circumstance, wouldn't we? But he's wrestling. He does his own wrestling with the Lord. He begins by lamenting his current state, the inner turmoil he's experiencing because of his rebellion. While the outside storm had abated when he was thrown into the sea, the storm inside had just begun. And Jonah knows that this heart storm is not simply the result of just doing the wrong thing. It's not just guilt for not doing what he was told. But this inner turmoil is the result of a broken relationship, that he has broken communion with his God. He was one who thought he knew God, who spoke for God. But now that's changed. He's turned away, and so he feels the reality of turning from God in the very depths of his soul. Jonah expresses this feeling of alienation, of separation. He says, "You cast me into the deep. All your waves and your billows, they pass over me. I think there's a way in which we can identify with Jonah in this way. I think all of us at one time or another have felt a feeling of separation from God. Now, whether it's a result of some sin within ourselves, or even in the midst of some trial and tribulation that's outside of our control, it can feel like God is far away, that he has no care for us anymore, and all we experience are the unending waves of alienation battering against our souls. We can say with Jonah, I am driven away from your sight. Jonah feels the hopelessness, as if all is lost. The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Jonah recognizes that he, in his own power, can do nothing to mend what seems broken. He is bound by the limits of his own humanity. He says, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He shows that to be bereft of God's presence is an experience of death itself. He has not died in the belly of the fish, but he was experiencing what the psalmist calls the valley of the shadow of death. This seemed to be, for him, the end. But this was not the end. No, because as often as it is, even in our own lives, that at the moment of utter despair and hopelessness, what may be for us the deepest depths, that's where we often find the God who claims us and the God who gives us hope. Like it says in Lamentations, the Lord will not reject forever. Jonah says, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Under the weight and the fury of the waves of his own soul, Jonah finds deliverance, freedom, life from the one he thought he was far from. The separation that he felt was not real in the sense that it was real in his own experience of it, but it was not real in the fact that God was not far off, but he was always close. It's like trying, as he did at the beginning of the book, running from the God who is literally everywhere. To think that we can be separated from the God who claims us in Jesus Christ is a false way of thinking. And it comes from our own feeling. It comes from our own experience of life, but we have to reframe and remember the God whom we serve, the God who Jonah served. He thought God was far off when he was in reality nearer than he would ever imagine. Jonah had nowhere else to cling. He had no one else to cling to, so all he could do was look to God. And he found that God was near. He prays, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah looked to Zion. Even from the belly of the whale, he set his mind on the temple of the Lord. This was to be God's very dwelling place on earth. It stood as a promise to God's people that he was with them, even in times of trouble. That's why often in the Psalms, the psalmist points people to the temple of the Lord. Because in the midst of trial and tribulation, of exile, the temple was that promise that God would never abandon them. But not only was it a temple, a promise of God's presence, but it was also a promise of God's mercy. For in the temple was the mercy seat, that place between the cherubim on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. This is where the blood of the Lamb was sprinkled, signifying the redemption of God's people, the sacrifice made in their stead, the restoration of their covenant relationship between God and God's people. Jonah looked to the temple, to that place of mercy, because remembering God, he found that there was grace and mercy and abounding steadfast love. He looked to that temple, which was the promise of God's mercy, even to him, even as he had done everything in his power to go the opposite direction, that there was a God, his God, who was still calling him back to his presence. Jonah here has wrestled with God, and like Jacob, he has received a blessing. God gave Jonah mercy, forgave him, renewed him, raised up his life again. The God who he thought was distant was really close, with an outstretched arm of grace for Jonah's time of need. All he had to do was take a hold. Now, this is not some promise of some distant age, of some distant God, but this is the promise of our God for our time of need. We may feel as though God is distant, that the waters of our life close over us, but our God is not far off. But he stands with an arm extending mercy to strengthen us, to lift us up in our darkest hour, and to grant us his peace. This is not of our own power. This is not some trick, as if trusting God equals happiness or some sort of mechanism that we can try to use for our own favor. But it is the character of our God, who in his power and love comes to us, even and despite our running away from him, to be for us grace and peace. And this doesn't mean, of course, that all of our circumstances will be magically fixed. Even Jonah was still in the belly of the whale. He wasn't rejoicing on the beachside. He was rejoicing in the very depths of the sea. But the promise is that in the midst of life storms, God is with us and grants provisions of grace. It is here in turbulent times that we most often see our need. But it's also in this place where we can experience the depths of God's mercy and presence. My friends, we live in a time when we acutely feel the chaos of our world. Political turmoil, economic crises, wars and rumors of wars. It can seem like there is no hope for tomorrow, that we are living under our own shadow of death. And it may be even the chaos in our own lives of fragile bodies or broken relationships, a sense of alienation and separation from ourselves and from our God. We may feel surrounded by the floods of life, wrapped in the weeds of our own brokenness. But what Jonah teaches us here is that even in the depths of hopelessness, there is real hope. Even when the chaos of life's storm is raging overhead, there is grace for us beneath the waves. The God who has claimed you in Jesus Christ promises never to leave nor forsake you. In the midst of your trials and your sufferings, God is not far away, but will lift you up. The storms of life cannot have the final say, because the God of grace has promised to see you through. The God who showed grace to Jonah has plenty of grace for you and me. So may you this day trust the Lord of grace and so live with thanksgiving. Amen. As we have heard God's word and we prepare our hearts to come to Christ's table, we respond and give thanks for all that God has given to us, and we give back just a portion of it as a testament to the blessings that he has given.
Thank you.
Our good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the infinite blessings that you pour out upon us. And so we give back just this portion of our lives as a sign of our dedication of our whole selves to you. Pray, sanctify these gifts and our entire selves, that we may use them for the building up of your kingdom, for the proclamation of the gospel, and for your glory. All through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Our Savior Jesus Christ has ordained and instituted the sacrament of this Holy Supper to nourish and sustain those who are already engrafted into his family, members of his body, the church. Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as the sacrament of his body, and the cup as a sacrament of his blood. Just as truly as we take and hold these in our hands and eat and drink them with our mouths by which our bodies are sustained, so just as truly we receive into our very souls for the life of the Spirit, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. We receive these gifts by faith, which is the hands and mouth of our souls. This banquet is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates to us his entire self and all his benefits. And by the use of this holy sacrament, we are moved to a fervent love of God and a love of our neighbors. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure. You are always the same, and your years will never end. You made us in your image and called us to be your people, but we turned from you, leaving sin and death to reign. Still you loved us and sought us. In Christ your grace defeated death and opened the way to eternal life. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent your only begotten in the fullness of time to be for us the way and the truth and the life. Revealing your love, Jesus taught those who would hear him, heal those who believed in him, receive those who sought him, and lifted the burden of their sin. We glorify you for your great power and love at work in Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new people by water and the Spirit. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won by Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as living and holy offerings of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that the bread we break and the cup we bless would be the communion of the body and blood of Christ our Lord. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name,
that we may be one in ministry in every place. And as this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be Christ's body in the world. Remember your church, O Lord. Unite her in the truth of your word and empower her in ministry to the world. Remember the world of nations. By your Spirit, renew the face of the earth. Let your peace and justice prevail. Remember our family and friends. Bless them and watch over them. Be gracious to them and give them peace. Remember the sick and the suffering, the aged and the dying. Encourage them and give them hope. Help us, O God, to love as Christ loved. Knowing our own weakness, may we stand with all who stumble. Sharing in his suffering, may we remember all who suffer. Held in his love, may we embrace all whom the world denies. Rejoicing in his forgiveness, may we all forgive who sin against us. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all ages, we will sit at table in glory. All this through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper has ended, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so it is, as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord crucified and risen until he comes again in glory. These are the gifts of God, and they are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take, eat. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take, drink. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our God, with heart and hand.
Even when life's storms rage, even when we feel that all has closed in over us, it's then that the God of mercy and grace meets us, comes to us, and gives us all we need, lifting us up to him forevermore. So go from this place and this knowledge, and go to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and always. Amen.